It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4.25-inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Sam Burns wins the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play at Austin Country Club in Austin, Texas over the weekend. He defeated Cameron Young 6-5. Scottie Scheffler was the number one seed in the event. Roy McIlroy was the number three seed in the event. They were ousted in the semifinals, but the third place finisher was Roy McIlroy as he defeated Scottie Scheffler 2-1. Sam Burns took home $3.5 million for his work from Wednesday through Sunday. A lot of golf that he had to play, but it was well worth it. That's up from the $2.1 million that Scottie Scheffler earned last year in his win there in Austin. Cam Young finished second and claimed $2.2 million for his runner-up finish. Coming up on this episode of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Taylor Moore. Over Zoom, he won his first PGA Tour event at the Valspar Championship a couple of weeks ago, and he joins us on this edition of From the Short Grass as he gets ready to play in the Masters next week. I want to tell you about our partners, Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Blackman Auctions is in charge of auctioning off the old Foxwood Country Club that turned into the Southern Oaks Country Club there in Jacksonville. That auction is coming up in a couple of weeks. Go to their website to find out more, blackmanauctions.com. We're back with my Zoom interview with Taylor Moore after this.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. On Friday, April 14th, we are auctioning without reserve an 18-hole golf course in Jacksonville, Arkansas. This 145-acre property includes an 8,000-square-foot clubhouse, two equipment buildings, and a pool. Property has the very nice Foxwood subdivision to the south and a 6,000-acre WMA to the north, less than 15 minutes from downtown Little Rock. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy land like this in the city. For more information, go to blackmanauctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Former Arkansas Razorback Taylor Moore just adds to the list of pro hogs that have won on the PGA Tour. Taylor grew up in the state of Oklahoma and said it was hard not to go to Oklahoma State for golf when it came time to choose a college that he wanted to attend. But I think you'll understand why he chose the University of Arkansas. A lot of it has to do with their head coach, Brad McMakin. On the tee, via Zoom, Taylor Moore.
Taylor Moore, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Valspar champion, 2023. How does that sound?
Pretty cool, man. I'm super excited to get my first tour win. And yeah, it really hasn't sunk in yet. I mean, it's been kind of crazy since I finished up on Sunday night and just knocking a bunch of stuff out. But yeah, super stoked for my first win on tour.
How was that feeling when you knew that you had won and then accepting that championship trophy?
Yeah, I was pretty fired up then. I mean, you know, just honestly preparing for a playoff right when I was, you know, done and, you know, had Jordan right there, one back, and I was tied with Shank for the lead and he had two holes to play. And, you know, I was still really just preparing for a playoff. And then when I ultimately got the news, just gave my caddy a big hug and fiance a big hug and just, you know, celebrated with them real quick before I had to go accept the trophy, which was another really cool experience there on 18 green. And yeah, man, it was really fun.
Some say that the Copperhead course there at Innisbrook is one of the toughest courses on the PGA Tour that you guys play. How would you rate it?
I would agree with that. I think it's I describe it as tricky. I mean, I think it's a place that's been around for a number of years, you know, and the tour has been there for a number of years, and it's just you never really see low numbers there. I think last year, 17 or 18 under was a playoff, which was kind of like an anomaly for scoring there. I think the winner's typically 9 to 12 under. And it's just a tricky place. It's not super long. It's not, you know, super narrow, but it's just got some grit in it, got some teeth in it. And it's a challenging place to play.
What kind of adrenaline did you have flowing on that back nine Sunday? Is that different than the other days?
Yeah, it's, I would say it was more of just a focused kind of energy just because I knew I was close. You know, I really couldn't get anything going. I made a decent sized birdie putt on nine. And then I didn't take advantage of par 5 11, but then I stuck a close one there on 12. And when I hit that one to, you know, tap in range, I kind of felt the blood flowing a little bit and knew I was, you know, maybe one or two back of the lead, and really just wanted to stay in the moment and execute to the best of my ability coming in.
Not only, Taylor, is this your first win on the PGA Tour, it's also your first top 10 on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. You know, I finished fourth last year in the team event, so I guess that one doesn't count in New Orleans. But yeah, first top 10. You know, honestly, though, I got off to a pretty good start to the 23 like calendar year. I had three top 15s out west. I felt like my game's been in a pretty good spot. I've just been waiting to kind of really put four full rounds together. You know, I kind of had a bad nine holes or bad six holes, you know, here or there that kind of took me out of, like you said, you know, finishing top 10 or top five or, you know, maybe even winning. So it was nice to just put all the pieces together this week.
What is it like now knowing that, okay, I'm in the Masters? Have you gotten the invitation yet? That's the first question. And then have you thought about that week and the prep that goes into just that week and that tournament alone?
So I haven't gotten the invite officially yet. I've heard it's coming tomorrow, so I'll be at the house waiting for that one for sure. I can't wait. Can't wait for that thing to get here. But, you know, it's kind of a short-ish notice, I guess, to get an invite, you know, going from – playing basically the Valero Open next week to having the Masters off to now, you know, swapping that out and getting to play Augusta. I know a lot of guys go before and get to play practice rounds and, you know, scout out the course. And, you know, this year I don't have that luxury, but I think with where my game's at, I'm just going to kind of treat it, you know, just like another week on tour, and me and my caddy will get there and get to work starting Sunday.
You played at the University of Arkansas. Mateo Fernandez de Oliveira won the Latin American this year. Was on From the Short Grass right after that. And he's going to be playing in the Masters as well. Will you two guys play a practice round together? Are you going to try and talk with him and maybe go around the course once or twice?
Yeah, I'll reach out to him for sure. I know I think Coach McMakin's going to be there as well. So I'll get connected with both of them and would love to get out and play, you know, at least nine holes with him, if not a little more. So, yeah, super, super excited to have as many hogs as we can have there in Augusta.
What does Brad McMakin mean to Taylor Moore?
A lot. You know, it's hard not to get emotional talking about that guy. He's been a big part of my life. And, you know, he's always, ever since I got on campus, he's been like a second father to me. And, you know, that's what he told me when he was trying to recruit me, you know, when I was in high school. And I ended up going to, you know, school there on the Hill and having coach there, you know, get me and my game ready to get to the next level. And he's done far more than, you know, anybody ever knows about. And I think he, you know, he still helps me with my game to this day. And we still talk, you know, pretty much on a weekly, daily basis.
What led you to the University of Arkansas, Taylor?
Well, I grew up a Razorback fan. I mean, my dad played baseball there. My mom was a cheerleader there. So I grew up going to games, you know, ever since I could remember, basically. And growing up in Oklahoma, it was tough not to go to Oklahoma State for golf. But I knew deep down in the relationship I really had with Coach McMakin, you know, led me to Fayetteville. And I wanted to, in my free time, I wanted to go root for a school that you know, I loved, and I wanted to go to football games, and I wanted to go to, you know, baseball games and watch Van Horn and his team do their deal. And that's what I love to do in my off time. So might as well have gone there and enjoyed it.
Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and when you really fell in love with the game?
I was pretty young. You know, we were living in Texarkana at the time, and my dad was the coach there at Texas High. And that's kind of my first memory is of really playing and, you know, asking him to go to the golf course in his free time and, you know, just really watching golf with him and hit as many balls as I can.
When you think back of that time growing up, and what particular did you focus on as a youngster that you would tell young kids, young junior golfers these days, that if you want to try and make this a career, what do you need to focus on first?
Yeah, I think the first thing I tell kids is, you know, when they ask me that, is I think playing a bunch of sports at a young age until you basically get into high school is super beneficial. You just learn so many skills. You become very athletic. You're such a well-rounded athlete. I think that's huge. And I think that's step one. And then I kind of had a plan with my high school and coach, you know, coach growing up of like, I just wanted to be the best player I could be in my school first. Then I wanted to be the best player, you know, in my city next, and then the best player in the state. And I just really set these goals that I felt like were obtainable from, you know, ninth through 12th grade, and really just tried to be the best I could be in a year, you know, time period of those things that I mentioned. And I really just tried to follow that formula to the best of my ability, and ended up working out for me.
What's some advice that you've gotten from other PGA Tour players that you would share with those younger than you?
You know, just because you get on tour, don't change who you are and what you've done. You know, I think the biggest thing is coming off Korn Ferry, you're very excited to get to PGA Tour. You have your PGA Tour card. You're starting to play some of the best events in the world against the best players in the world. And it's easy to make changes, right? It's easy to, you know, just want to get better and, you know, see, you know, Justin Thomas doing one thing and Rory doing another and go try that stuff because it works for them. And I think the best advice I gotten was not to change who you are and what you've done to get to that point, and just go be a better version of yourself once you get out there.
How much do you practice? Do you like to practice?
I like to play more than practice. I think playing golf is much more beneficial a lot of times. And that's also something I would tell the younger kids is go shoot the best number you can and learn how to play golf versus learn how to practice golf, because there hasn't been any tournaments or championships won on the driving range.
Good point. Or the putting green too, right?
That's right. That's
now,
right.
You could probably win some money there with some little side bets with players, right?
Yeah, that's right. We have some wagers from time to time out there for sure.
Whose pockets do you get into?
I play a lot of practice rounds with Davis Riley. He's a buddy of mine with Alabama. And then Matt Neesmith as well. So I tend to play some practice rounds with those two guys, as well as Zalatoris. So
what's it like playing with Will, a guy that has the Simmons Bank logo on his shirt? You've got another Arkansas company, Stevens, on your shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I've known Will forever, and he's such a good player and a good dude. And to see, you know, not only his game and life develop, but also me getting out there as well has been a lot of fun.
Having that Stevens logo on your chest, does it mean a little bit more having that on there?
Yeah, that was one of my goals, you know, once I got on tours. I wanted to have sponsorships and, you know, companies and relationships with people from places that I, you know, felt deep down. And I felt like, you know, if I could have any Edmond, Oklahoma connection or any Arkansas connection, and, you know, now living in Dallas, anything, you know, from those three areas, you know, I thought that would be beneficial for me and just go a long way on the relationship side.
Where do you practice there in Dallas?
I play at Merido Golf Club in Addison. So it's about 20 minutes from where I'm at. And yeah, it's a really nice place. We got a good practice facility, a nice hard golf course for us to prep on. And it's been really good for my game.
I hear Tony Romo likes to get out there a lot. You ever play with him?
He does. Yeah, I played with Tony a few times. You know, you better roll up with some deep pockets. So if you're going to play in his game, so
he's, why is that?
He's quiet. He's quite the gambler. He likes to play for some big money. So it's which is fun. It's good practice for us. Yeah, it wasn't quite something that I loved all the time when I was on the Korn Ferry Tour, but now that I'm on the PGA Tour, it's a little better.
I was going to say, now that you have a win under your belt, I mean, everybody knows that the prize purses are growing on the PGA Tour to combat what's happening with LIV Golf. But now that you've won on the PGA Tour, I mean, you can afford to play in Tony's group, can't you?
Yeah, I can afford it now for sure.
Have you thought, Taylor, about that drive down Magnolia Lane the first time you turn off of Washington Avenue and go through the gates of Augusta National?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've dreamed of it for many, many years, and that's going to be a pretty spectacular moment to actually have that happen, and you know, have my pops there with me in the car, and whoever else is, you know, going to be there with us to celebrate.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who all's going to be in that car with you?
Definitely my dad, probably my mom and my fiance, and then I'd imagine my caddy as well. So I think that's kind of the start right there.
Yeah, that's got to be something. I mean, that's every young kid's dream is to play in the Masters at Augusta National, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, that's the mecca of our game. That's the tournament that everybody, you know, watches every year. And, you know, I was telling a, you know, friend yesterday, it's going to be a nice change of pace this year from, you know, pulling out the laptops and iPads and watching all the different featured hold and coverage and just actually being there to play and experience that moment.
How do you prep for that, knowing that it is a much hillier golf course than what you see on television, and the fact that you just won and your prep is a much shorter than those that have known for a while that they're going to be playing in it? Do you train a little bit different for that week?
That's a great question. I don't really know if there's a right answer. I think, you know, with the short amount of time that I do have, I mean, I know all the holes, right? I've watched the tournament and the course for so long, but just to get actually out there and get acclimated as soon as possible, I think will be, you know, the biggest thing. And to try to take as much of the wow factor out of Augusta National as early as I can, and then, you know, just get into my normal prep mode, I think is going to be the most beneficial way for me to get ready to tee it up, you know, Thursday of that week.
Have you sent any text to Zalatoris and say, hey, you were almost there winning in your first ever time playing at the Masters a couple of years ago? Have you sent him any text to say what was the key there to maybe you be able to replicate what he did?
I haven't sent him a text yet, but I think, you know, we have the same coach, short game coach. So I think we're going to get, you know, practice round or two together. And I would love to pick his brain a little bit if he's willing to share any information or any intel on what he does out there. I think that would be pretty cool.
Taylor, what's the rest of your PGA Tour season looking like now that you've won on the PGA Tour and you're solid for this year and for a while in the future?
Yeah, obviously the, you know, four majors will be in order, which is awesome. And then I can kind of plan my schedule, you know, around that and the invitationals that we have. So, you know, looking forward to PGA Championship, US Open, obviously getting overseas and, you know, going to England and Scotland for my first time and playing the Scottish Open and British. I'll be pretty pumped up for that. And then, you know, all the invitationals that we do have remaining, RBC Heritage and the Travelers Championship, will definitely be events that I'll be at the rest of the season.
I spoke to Bryce Mulder a couple of weeks ago and had him on, and he said that when you're on the PGA Tour, you're always chasing something. You're chasing to get into a top 10. And then once you get there, you're chasing to win. Once you get there, you're chasing to win a major and Ryder Cup and President's Cup. Do you feel that now that you've won that, okay, that's a relief. Now I can work on the next goal?
You know, I don't really know if all this is processed yet and it's sinking yet to really move on to the next, you know, kind of goal or chapter. I obviously am a PGA Tour winner now, and I'm really just, you know, looking forward to what's next and what's in front of me, which is going to be the Masters. And I'm going to just take this thing week by week and day by day and, you know, control what I can control. And that's kind of the formula and model I've used, you know, the last couple of years, and it's seemed to be working for me.
All right. You're about to be a married man. What's the date? Do you have that set?
We're working on it, man. That's a tough one with trying to get a venue and hotels and all that stuff lined up. So we're thinking sometime December, January, end of this year. And, you know, I think we decided to do something destination as well. So we're looking forward to going somewhere and spending some time with some family and close friends and just having a fun week.
Hey, the other thing, winning a PGA Tour event, you're now qualified to play at Kapalua.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That'll be fun too. I've never been to Hawaii either. So
are you
get to
serious?
Check that one off. Never been, no sir.
Oh wow. Yeah. The plantation course at Kapalua. That's it's a spectacular golf course, spectacular views. You will definitely love it, I think.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. And that's another place that, like, I've watched for many, many years, you know, on TV, obviously being the first event of the year you know, every January and kind of kicking off the golf season. So I'll be excited to get there.
No cut.
Yeah, another great benefit for sure.
All right. I'm sure this answer is about to change after the Masters, but the best golf course that Taylor Moore has ever played?
That's such a good question. It's kind of challenging because I different parts of the country have such different, you know, terrain and grasses. And I think a place that I've always loved and we played a college event there was Olympia Fields in Chicago. I think it's just such a neat, old school, hard, challenging golf course. And they really haven't had to change much about it over the years. And it's so fun, but so rewarding if you play well. So I really enjoy going up there and seeing that place.
What does it mean to you that you were able to overcome some medical issues in your time at Arkansas?
Yeah, I think, you know, the issues I had when I was in school were mostly just like athlete, like training related, you know, some back stuff that would flare from time to time. But the training staff there at Arkansas was unbelievable, you know, led by Dave England and his team. And they did an awesome job getting me right and getting me healthy while I was in school. And then obviously when I turned pro, got me off my feet there and allowed me to have some success early on.
All right. Last question for you here, Taylor. A fantasy foursome, you and three others, living or deceased, that you could play a round of golf with, who would it be?
I would go with me, Tiger. I would go with my dad. And then I got to find a fourth who – we're both baseball guys, so it'd have to be some sort of baseball guy that loves golf, maybe. Maybe like Ken Griffey, just because I know he loves golf and him and Tiger were buddies. I think that'd be a pretty fun foursome. Have some good stories,
yeah,
you know, in both sports there.
That would be cool. All right, I said last question, but you mentioned Tiger there. Growing up, was he must-see TV for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think he's one of the sole reasons, I think, not only myself, you know, chose golf to, you know, pursue, but I think a lot of other, you know, kids my age, he was must watch. Like you said, he was the reason golf became cool and athletic and fun and had as much money as it does in it now. Yeah, he was absolutely must watch TV when I was growing up.
Well, you know, he's going to be at Augusta. I mean, why not walk up to him and say, hey, Tiger, can we play 9 holes today?
Yeah, for sure. That would be that'd be pretty cool. I think he has his little crew that he runs with up there. But it's been cool to see him back out and trying to play again. Honestly, you know, I got to see him at Riviera about a month ago, and I was telling some people too, his game still looks good enough to like win and compete, and he still swings the club in a way where you like, if you're walking on the range and he hits one, you're like, okay, like I know why he's been so good for so long.
It just sounds different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a certain noise for sure. It's got a certain thump, and I mean, there's a reason he's won as many times as he has.
Is it hard, Taylor, to imagine the amount of people that flock to a golf course just to see him? I mean, you've been there for the regular tour event, and then you've been there for a Tiger Tour event when he's on property playing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's hard to describe just because it's so different. I mean, he's adding 50-ish thousand people a day, basically, and more than half of them are going to go, you know, try to follow him the whole time. And so it creates a dynamic and a buzz around the golf course where you constantly know where he's at, you know, if you're out playing, you know, in the same wave as him. And it's really cool to see. I think the more, you know, golf fans that actually come out and watch live golf, the better.
Ideal scenario, Sunday afternoon at Augusta, you and Tiger are paired together.
Yeah, I'll sign up for it right now. That would be pretty cool.
Who's going to win?
That's a great question. I would like to say myself with where my game's at. But Tiger at Augusta's got quite the track record, so I don't know if I can go against history either.
No doubt about that. Hey, Taylor, congratulations on the win at the Valspar there in Florida at Innisbrook. And thanks so much for joining me here on From the Short Grass, and continued success, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, Trey. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
My thanks to Taylor Moore for taking some time out of his busy schedule right after winning his first PGA Tour event and take some time to come on From the Short Grass, another one of those great golfers to come out of the University of Arkansas. Obviously, the Masters is coming up. He's into all the majors now, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and like I mentioned to him, the fact that he gets to go play in Maui, Hawaii, Kapalua, the Plantation course, to begin 2024 in paradise. It doesn't get much better than that. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, one of our great sponsors of From the Shortgrass, Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, or if you're going somewhere for a weekend or just want to get away, make sure it's a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. How do you do that? Go to their website, bphotels.com. You can find out all of their properties on the website and make sure you stay at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. We're back after this with more From the Shortgrass. Stay with us.
This is Thomas Blagman with Blagman Auctions. On Friday, April 14th, we are auctioning without reserve an 18-hole golf course in Jacksonville, Arkansas. This 145-acre property includes an 8,000-square-foot clubhouse, two equipment buildings, and a pool. Property has the very nice Foxwood subdivision to the south and a 6,000-acre WMA to the north. Less than 15 minutes from downtown Little Rock. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy land like this in the city. For more information, go to blagmanauctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square district of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. It's now time for our rules segment. On the tee, PGA Master Professional Adam Carney.
Ground under repair. You don't always have to take it, but sometimes it is mandatory that you take it. Can you explain those different scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, the only one, ground under repair or an abnormal ground condition, is going to be an area of the golf course that perhaps is under construction, or they've had some loss of grass or a sinkhole or something like that.
Like you've got winter kill or something.
Yeah, I mean, and you might do something like that. And a player is entitled to relief, you know, following the procedures under that rule. Areas that are considered to be ground under repair, or we really call them non-play areas, are areas that are what we typically call environmentally sensitive. You know, back in the day when I played a little bit down in Florida on some of the mini tours, we saw all kinds of areas where they said, hey, it's environmentally sensitive, you can't play from this area. But it wasn't fair to apply a stroke and distance penalty to the player for hitting it into that area.
Yeah, but they didn't even want you to go in there and retrieve your golf ball.
That's correct.
Either.
And you still see that. I see it mostly in Florida,
yeah,
coastal areas. And, yeah, under those circumstances, your ball could be lost in ground under repair. Your ball could be lost in an immovable obstruction. So the rules do allow for a situation where, okay, it's known and virtually certain that a ball went into this abnormal ground condition or an obstruction. So you're going to take the point where the ball entered and use that as your reference point for taking relief under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So the same would hold true for an environmentally sensitive area. You know, alternatively, the committee could make the environmentally sensitive area a penalty area if they so choose to, and then prohibit you from going in there to look for the golf ball. You know, when you have that, hey, this is an environmentally sensitive area, you can't play from here, you can't, you know, then you're going to just follow the rules for, you know, ground under repair, I guess, under those that situation.
And if you take relief from ground under repair, you have to take complete relief. You cannot drop inside of the ground under repair. If you want to play the shot from ground under repair and the committee allows that, you can do that, correct?
Correct. Yep.
All right. That's correct. If you've got a question on the rules of golf, send us an email from theshortgrass@gmail.com.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. I want to thank Taylor Moore again for spending time out of his busy schedule to talk with me over Zoom. The Arkansas State Golf Association has started their season, and Bo Glover and Tyler Reynolds won the ASGA Four-Ball Championship at Hot Springs Country Club over the weekend. They won with a birdie on the playoff hole over Chris Jenkins and Wes McNulty. Remember, when you find a ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.